Hey, thank you, Patty and Tessa, for that video. You know, if they were both sitting with us here in the sanctuary, I would ask them if they like speaking in front of people. They seem pretty comfortable, but perhaps they get nervous, you know, sweaty, clammy. Maybe they forget their trains of thoughts, or they're concerned with how what they say will be heard or taken. You know, if they said that that was the case with them, I'd tell Tessa especially, hey, me too. You know what? I'm not a fan of public speaking. Of giving speeches. I don't think that's a secret. I've shared it enough times with enough people that I believe most of you know that. You want to know what makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck? It's the chant, speech, speech, speech. Oh, I tell you what, I get jittery just thinking about that moment. Hearing those words repeated, I mean, that's me, that's someone being put on the spot, not having a chance to prepare, having to wing it, to punt, to make it up on the fly. Speech, speech, speech. You guys out there in live stream land, do you like speeching? Give me a thumbs up if you like speaking in front of people. If you like speeching, just a simple thumbs up. Now, give me a simple thumbs down if you're not a fan. If you'd rather be doing so many more other things besides speaking in front of people. You know, Moses, the Old Testament Ten Commandments guy, he would have been putting multiple thumbs down in the comment box. When God told him to go to Egypt to talk to Pharaoh about letting God's people go free, the text says this in Exodus 4, verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Moses, I feel your fear, man. A big thumbs down in the comment box from me when I asked if I like speaking in front of people. Tell you what, friends out there, if you get nerves, would it change anything if you knew that other people were speaking also? If they were trying to speak the same message as you, would that make things easier? If you are one of just many voices, diverse voices, trying to communicate the same message, does that make speaking in front of people an easier task? See, I think it does for me. If I know I'm simply joining in the speeches that others are already saying, it takes a lot of pressure off. Today, and for the next couple of weeks, I want to invite you all to join the speeches. Speech, speech, speech. Join in the speeches. Let me pray, and I'll unpack that. Heavenly Father, this is your time this morning. May what we say and do bring you glory and honor and praise. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 19. And as you're turning, let me tell you a story. In the fall of 1997, had you told me that I was going to regularly, weekly speak in front of a group of people, you know, 100 plus in size, I would have laughed at you. I would have said, not a chance. Had you told me I was going to give weekly speeches about God, I would have asked you what drugs you were taking. I mean, as an 18-year-old boy who came from a family line of people who did not function well in front of a crowd, a boy who had been running from the faith of his parents for 4 years, talking about God in front of people would have been one of the hardest things I could have thought of to do. And I know I wasn't, and I know I'm still not the only one out there who feels this. Because talking about God, talking for God, for so many people, it gets us tongue-tied like Moses. Yet, as followers of Jesus, as people who claim to know the truth about God, know his way of forgiveness, his story of redeeming humanity, his desire to be in relationship with us, as people who live in this story, it's our job to share and speak about him. It's our job to answer the call to speech, speech, speech. Nod with me, even if it's uncomfortable, if you agree. Jesus told us to go and make disciples, which means at some level we have to talk in front of other people, whether one person or 1,000 people. God's asking us to speak for him. And this is why what we're talking about over the next few weeks matters. God has called us to speak for him. Now, sure, this doesn't mean we'll all be preachers in pulpits, but the scriptures tell us to always be ready to explain the hope that we have. It's 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to share. So what do we do? If we know that speaking about God terrifies us, if our words get tangled, what do? How about this? We join the speeches. We join what others are already talking about. This last month, I spent a lot of time in Psalm 19. It's got one of my favorite verses at the end, which we'll talk about later. But more than just a favorite verse, it's basically a psalm, a song about speeching, about declaring, about making known. Answering the call to speech, speech, speech. And this morning, we're going to look at the first 6 verses, and we'll see what voices I'm suggesting you join with. Psalm 19, verse 1 to 6 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat." Now I read that and I think, ah, creation is speeching. I mean, is there any doubt at all, according to this psalm, that creation is speaching for God? I'm not saying the focus here is on creation itself, but the emphasis is without a doubt that creation is lauding and applauding her creation. Creation is giving a speech. It's talking about God. It's drawing attention upwards towards the Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer. The focus is not on the speaker, which is what so many of our fears are when we think about public speaking, that all eyes are on us. The focus is not the speaker. Verse 1 does not say the heavens proclaim how great they are, how awesome their sunsets and sunrises look, how cool the stars are on a cloudless night. That's not what verse 1 says. No, verse 1 says that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. They display his handiwork, not their own. Now, the word for proclaim in Hebrew means to tell something. It means to recount, as in the young man recounted the story of what took place. Now, if you're recounting a story, you've got an audience. You've got listeners. You are speaking. And when you've got an audience, you'd better speak in a way that'll be heard, right? Which takes us to the second part of verse 1. The New Living Translation says the skies display his craftsmanship. The Hebrew says they are declaring the work of his hands. When you declare something, it's not some quiet under your breath type of statement, is it? You don't walk into a room and say, "Mom said dinner's ready." No, when you declare, it's loud enough for everyone to hear. "Hey, come and get it. Dinner is ready. It's on the table." You guys are reaching for your computer volume right now. I won't do that again. The Hebrew word for declare is negad, and it means to make known, to announce, to report. As we look at verse 1, is there any doubt at all that there are speeches going on? Speech, speech, speech. Let's keep going. Verse 2. "Day after day, the skies, the heavens continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known." A continue to speak literally means to pour out or to gush forth, to gush forth. This past week, I had lunch with a pastor and his wife from Montana who were driving from Missoula to Seattle to hang out with their granddaughters. They've got twin granddaughters, 3 years old. Now, the Friday before, those granddaughters were at the park with their mom and other grandma, and the other grandma had a medical emergency. Two ambulances came and a big fire truck. When the couple, the grandparents I was eating lunch with, when they Zoom called their granddaughters the next day, they said both girls got in front of the camera and just started talking nonstop, waiting, not waiting for the other person. They were at the same time till cold, "Grandpa, grandma, let me tell you what happened to other grandma." And they were gushing forth. They were pouring out. So what the psalmist in verse 2 is saying, he's saying, look up. There's speeches going on that are pouring forth day after day, night after night. And what's going on with those speeches? Again, it's not a look at me, I'm awesome because I'm the sky. No, it's a revealing of God. It's a making God known. Speech, speech. Let me make known to you how great God is. Let me tell you about his splendor, his majesty, his grandeur. That is what pouring forth looks like. And that's just the first two verses of Psalm 19. As we continue on, the psalmist, he seems a little contradictory of sorts. I mean, so far, all of his language has been able to be heard. At least that's what it seems like. But then we get to verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Huh. It's interesting. They speak, which is the Hebrew word, which literally means speech, without sound or words. Their voice is never heard. So is this a silent speech? Is this a preach often and when necessary use words type of moment? I mean, I can get behind that, right? Can I really join in a wordless speech? Hey, kids, if you're watching, do you know the look you get from your parents? You know what I'm talking about, right? Some people call it the stare down. Some people call it the stink eye. It's the look. You know exactly what it is. When you're doing something you know isn't right and mom just gives you the look. No words, Nothing audible, but you know exactly what she's saying. She doesn't even need out loud words to communicate. I wonder if that's what the psalmist is describing here. No words said, but the message is loud and clear. Verse 3 and 4, they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout all the earth and their words to all the world. All the world, all the earth. The Apostle Paul may have been thinking about this verse in Psalm 19 when he penned his letter to the church in Rome. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. No words, no sound, but a speech so loud and clear that no one has an excuse to say they can't know God. Speech, speech, speech. Can you hear it? Look up. It's pointing to God. The last half of verse 4 through verse 6, they shift the focus to the sun. It seems a little bit abrupt, but it really is just the author continuing to point to God. Verse 6, verse 4 says, God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises on one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. And the psalmist is saying, look at the sun. God has made a home there, a tent in the heavens for it. It rises up. It follows the course that God has set for it. Nothing can hide from its heat. You felt that this past week, didn't you? The thermometer hit 100 degrees for a couple of days. And the word pictures the psalmist uses here, they have to make us smile. I mean, the sun bursting forth like a bridegroom after his wedding, leaving his chamber is what some of your translation says. And we've got little ears watching, so I won't expand on this. But when I picture that groom, he's got a grin that is ear to ear and a spring in his step. You know what I mean? The other word picture, the sun rejoicing like a great athlete eager to run the race. Rejoicing. This is the same word that other psalms use to describe songs of praise directed to God. It's the mental picture of Usain Bolt, the 20-time Olympic gold medalist, or 20-time medalist, excuse me. He's stretching, he's jumping, he's warming up, he's by the starting blocks, fully aware that he's about to do exactly what God has made him to do. Is he nervous? Maybe. But more so, he's excited to do what God has made him to do. It's what God says the sun is there for. Nothing can hide from its heat. Nothing can hide from the speech the sun is giving. Creation is speaking. Can we join in? The heavens proclaiming the glory of God, the skies displaying his craftsmanship. Day after day, night after night, they speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout all the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding, rejoicing like a great athlete eager to run the race. It rises on one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. You know, I talked at the beginning of this sermon that many people don't like talking in front of others. And I shared with you how if you add the challenge of talking about God in front of other people, it really just ups the ante. What I'm trying to say this morning is this. We don't need to feel pressure of coming up with something new, profound, and original when we're talking about God. We can simply join the speeches that are already taking place. And the first place to look to see, to hear those speeches is up. It's creation praising the Creator. I want us to join those voices this week. Here's how. I'm not going to ask you to go out and verbally speak with anybody about Jesus. If God gives you that opportunity, do it. Take it. But I'm not going to say go and force a conversation so that the topic of God comes up. What I want you to do this week is to go and look. Look and listen for how and when creation is speaking about God. Go and purposely slow down enough to admire the way the clouds are moving, and maybe they're waving their hands in Hosanna to the Holy God. Slow down enough to notice the heat when you walk from your house to your vehicle. When you recognize the wind, maybe you're recognizing that it is the trees rustling with praise before the Lord. When you notice these things, I want you to join in. No crowds, no public speaking, just recognizing creation's praise of the Creator. Psalm 96:12 says, let the fields and the crops burst out with joy, and I say, join them. Psalm 98:7, let the sea and everything in it give his praise. Let the earth and all living things, join in. Join in. That's the call I'm giving. Join in the speeches. Proclaim out loud in that moment where nobody else is that God is awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. Now, we may not like, we may not be comfortable speeching in front of people, but today has been a reminder that there are speeches nonstop being said by those around us. We just need to join in. And when we do, my hope and my prayer is that it'll gain us confidence for when it is time to use words in front of other people. There's the Christian worship band Hillsong United. They sing a song titled, So Will I. The middle verses say, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow down in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For everything that exists to lift you high, so will I. Next week, I'm going to ask you, where you joined creation's speech about the Creator? And I want you to be ready to share. Let's pray. God, this is your week, and we look forward to seeing where your creation lifts up their hands in praise to you, where they lift up their voices in praise to you. Would you help us see it, Lord Jesus, and would you help us join in that speech? Give us the confidence to do so boldly, even if it's just us. I ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.